The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Daf Lamed. Today's daf is being studied by Le'alu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Le'alu Nishmat Moshe Ben Miriam Mr. Mo Hidri Alav Shalom during the week of his yahrzeit dedicated by his family. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chavtet Amud Bet, and we are three lines from the bottom. Zeh HaKelal Haya B'Mikdash. We said a klal, a rule that used to apply in the Beit HaMikdash. The rule was that HaMesech Et Raglav, that would be somebody, the Kohen, that had a bowel movement, so he would have to go after that to the Mikveh, to Bilah. However, we said that if he was had only urination, so then already it's only Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. He only has to wash his hands and his feet. So the Gemara says, Bishlama Raglayim. He says, I understand why you have to wash the Kohen's feet. Mishum Nitzotzot. Because we know that sometimes there is drops from the Meraglayim that sprinkle on his feet. So therefore we understand why the Kiddush Raglayim is necessary. Ela Yadayim Maitama. But why does he have to wash his hands? What's the Kiddush Yadayim for? So Amar Rabbi Abba Zot Omeret. From here we could learn Mitzvah Leshafshif. So we see over here that there's a mitzvah to clean the nitzotzot, to wash or to wipe off the nitzotzot, the drops that fall on his legs. So therefore his hands also are going to become dirty. His feet are dirty because there's nitzotzot on his feet. His hands are dirty because it's a mitzvah to brush them off or to clean them off. Why is there a mitzvah to brush off the nitzotzot that are on his legs? So Rashi on the top, Rashi says, Mitzvah l'shavshev biyado, nitzotzot shel meraglayim nitazim al raglav, shelo yetze ba'en chutz. We don't want him to go outside with them. V'nir'eh kichrut shavcha. Because then he'll give the appearance that if he is maimed in that place. Why? She'en meraglav mekalchin ela shotetin. Which means a person that has a wound, let's say, that in that place over there, so he is not able to urinate straight. It goes and sprinkles all over the place. And what's the problem with that? So I don't think he's a kruchavka. I think he's he was dismembered. So the Gemara says, well, a kruchavka, as she says, enu molid. He cannot have children. The yomru al banav she'enam shelo. That this guy does have children. So the people are going to think that his children are mamzerim. So therefore, in order to get away from that suspicion, the Gemara says, mitzvah leshafshif. There's indeed a mitzvah to wash off the nitzotzot off the legs as well. So therefore, that explains to us the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Mesayah le l'rabbi ameh. We have a proof to what the ameh said. Da'amar Rabbi Ameh asur le'adam shiyetze benitzotzot she'al gabe raglav v'peneh shenir'e kechrut shafcha u'motzi la'az al banav shehen mamzerim. Clearly that a person should not go out with the nitzotzot on his legs, because it's going to give the appearance that he's a krut shafcha, that again that he has a wound over there in that place, it was cut, and therefore he cannot have the meraglayim go out in the normal way. It doesn't flow, it sprinkles, and therefore they're going to say that his children are not his, because the kruch of God cannot have children, and then we're going to have a problem of, I mean, mamzerut. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Raftapta. Raftapta said, So'a bimkoma asur likrot kiriyat shema. That if a person has so'a, which is excrement, in its place, which means in the pita ba'at, that's the lashon of the bowel, which means it's in that spot over there. So he says, any tzoa that's in the place, asur lekrot kiriyat shema. So it's forbidden to read kiriyat shema. For that matter, it would be asur to learn, or pray, or do anything of
kedusha. So that's the papa's chiddush. Again, the reason why we're discussing this now is because we just discussed the bowel movements of the Kohen and the Beit HaMikdash. Now they're going exactly, you know, what he's allowed to do and what a person is not allowed to do with tzu'ah. So the Gemara says, what's the case of tzu'ah b'fit ba'ar? Idnir et, which means if the tzu'ah is visible, which means, let's say, obviously if the guy's not dressed, if it's visible, b'shita, that's obvious that you're not going to be allowed to read the Kiryat Shema, because we know you're not allowed to read Shema in a place where there's so'ah, like it's Mishnah Masechet Berachot we learned. Right. It said, "Kama yerchik minat so'ah." We said, "Arba'amot." You have to be 4 amot away. Here, it's on you, and it's visible. So certainly, it's going to be asur. We don't need a papa to come and tell me something so obvious. Now, idelonir it, which means if it's not visible, meaning even if a person disrobes, you can't see the so'ah. Lo netena Torah lemalacheh hasharet. And the Torah was not given to angels, which means the Gemara is trying to say it's impossible to be so careful to a drop of tzu'ah that's not even visible. How could you hold a person liable that he can't read Kiryat Shema? So, Mimana Shech, Papa, what are you talking about? If it's not eat, it's obvious. If it's not to eat, it's not. We're not Malachi Hasharet. We're not angels that we could detect these things. So comes the Gemara and says, Lo tzericha de yoshev v'nir'et omed ve'en anir'et. When he sits, so then already the tzu'ah is visible. However, when he's standing, en anir'et. Which means when he stands, it seems it covers it up, so it cannot be seen. But when he sits, so then already it is visible. So in that case over there, the Papa is coming to say that so long as the so'ah is in the pita ba'at, it is still asur to read Kiryat Shema. Now, which means without the papa, I could have said that the Mishnah and Berachot is talking about where it's visible in all cases. Mm-hmm. His hadush is that even if it's not visible when you're standing, but it is visible when you sit, still that's going to be a case of isur. So the Gemara says, Umay shena mitzu'ah al besaro. La papa, why is your statement any different than the statement that we had regarding tzu'ah, excrement on his flesh? The itmar, tzu'ah al besaro. Yeah, has tzu'ah on his flesh, but it's covered with his garment, meaning under his clothes, let's say. Okay? So now, the Gemara has a machloket over here. Tzu'ah al besaro, o shayu yadav bebet hakiseh. But let's say he had his hands in the bathroom, or even one of his hands in the bathroom. For example, he's standing in a place, and he extends his hand into the bathroom, so his hand is in the Beit HaKiseh, and he wants to say Kiryat Shema while his hand is extended in the Beit HaKiseh. Not his body, just his hand. So the Gemara says, we have a machloket over here. Rav Huna amar mutar lekrot Kiryat Shema. Rav Huna says it is permissible in such a case to read the Kiryat Shema. Why? Because Rav Huna's opinion is that even though he has tzu'ah on the parts of his body, so long as he doesn't have tzu'ah on his mouth or his nose, because that's the area that he breathes, and the person says, Kol ha-neshama tehalelya, that so long as those parts of the body are clean, even though the other parts might have tzu'ah on them, that's enough. Kol ha-neshama, meaning from the word neshima. So long as the breathing parts of your body are okay, doesn't matter where the tzu'ah is. V'Rav Chasda amar, asur lekrot Kiryat Shema. He says asur. And what's Rav Chasda's logic? Because he learns from the pasuk, Kal atzmotai tomarna Hashem ikamocha. All my limbs have to be worthy. Kal atzmotai. It's like kol atzmotai. All my limbs have to be worthy to give the praise to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so now, regardless, this machloket between Rav Huna and Rav Chasda, none of the opinions are going like Rav Papa. Rav Huna clearly holds if you have tzu'ah on your body, it's mutar. So that's clearly against the papa. Rav Papa said, if you have tzu'ah bepita ba'at, it's going to be asur. Secondly, even according to Rav Chasda, Rav Chasda's logic was that it's asur to read only Kiryat Shema in a place that was galui, which means that, you know, if he takes off his garment, the tzu'ah is right there in a visible place. But in a place that's mechuseh, like the Pita Ba'at, Rav Chasda, who says he was oser? I mean, the only machloket was on visible so'ah. Which happens under his garment, but so what? You take off the garment, you see it. Mm-hmm. According to Rav Papa, he was oser even when the guy's standing, it's not even nir'it. And therefore, Rav Papa, you're not going not like Rav Huna, and not like Rav Chazda. That is the question of the Gemara. So comes the Gemara and answers, Bimkoma nafi zuhama. In its place, there's a great zuhama. In the pita bat, obviously there's a great, we'll call it, you want to call it a reyah, or smell, or sweat, and therefore, it's going to be asur regardless. Pita bat is worse than any part of the body, because there's disgusting in that place over there. Shilobim kumalo nafi zuhama. Outside of the place where it's not that malodorous, not that there's not such a smell, so there we'll have a machloket. There Rav Huna and Rav Chazda will argue. So there's a difference between pita bat and the rest of the body. Everybody will all say pita bat. Even Rav Huna that was matir, pita bat's the worst because there's nafizu ama. Vaday Rav Chazda said, and the machloket was in other parts of the body that are exposed. There we have machloket Rav Huna and Rav Chazda. So to conclude the laws of tzoah that we just come out of this gemara is like this. Tzo'ah that is revealed, meaning that's not covered at all, whether it's on the person's body or whether it's in front of him, so the deen is 4 amot. You have to be 4 amot away from the place even where the smell ends in order to read Kiryat Shema. Now, tzo'ah that's on his body, that's covered with a beged. Now, if it's in the pita ba'at, so then only if it's visible when he sits, then everybody's going to say it's asur. However, if it's not visible, even when he's sitting, as well as he's standing, lo nitna Torah l'malachei asharet, and therefore, everybody will hold it is mutar. If he has so'ah on his body, covered by a garment, so there we have a machlok, Rav Huna and Rav Chazda. Rav Huna says mutar, unless it's on the chotem and the peh. And Rav Chazda says, kalat mutar toman is going to say asur. So that's basically that sugya. Now let's read the Rashi inside here. Let's read the Rashi, starting from the second Rashi, Bimkoma. Right? Tso'a Bimkoma, Benekev Pia Tabat Asur Ze Lekrot Kiryat Shema. Yadav Bebet HaKiseh, or he has his hand, let's say, in the Bet HaKiseh, Mechitzah Mafseket. He has a wall separating, Ubet HaKiseh Lefnim HaMechitzah, and the Bet HaKiseh is beyond the wall, Vezech Nis Yadav Derech Chor Shev Mechitzah. He stuck his hand in a hole, so therefore his hand is in the Bet HaKiseh, but he's behind the Bet HaKiseh.
There's nothing on it.
There's nothing
what?
On his hand.
No.
Somebody in the Bet HaKiseh, but he says Makom Tumah. So the question is, can you say Kiryat Shema when your part of your body is in a place of kinofit, in a place of dirt? Rav Chazda amar asur, mishum kal asmotai tomarna. Ta'ma mishum kal asmotai. The only reason why Rav Chazda was also because kal asmotai, aval, mishum zuamat areya, lo. But it's much way was not osir because of the smell and things like that. So which means the way we understood the question is that Chazda was only osir on because it's revealed. It's on him. But she'ekin when it's covered up, and then moto makom, he wasn't osir. The kasher of papa mitarvayu. So bimkoma nafizu hama. In its place there's a lot of sweat and smell. Shehamahi. Because over there, it's obviously it's like covered place, so it's hot over there. Shelo yatzal la'avir, there's no access of air over there. Velo nitpazedeha, therefore the smell cannot dissipate. Okay, now we go to the next sugya. Tanu rabbanan, we have a braita halacha b'seuda. The following is a halacha regarding a seuda when a person is sitting down to a meal. Adam yotzel lehashtin. A person, let's say, in the middle of the seudah, goes out to be mashtin, he goes out to urinate. Rashi says, Adam sheyatza mitoka seudah lashtin mayim, notel yado achat, ota sheshefshef ba nitzotzot. He only has to wash one hand. The hand that he used to clean the nitzotzot, the drops, we said that he has to clean the nut drops off his legs. So therefore, that one hand that he used, he has to wash. So again, Adam yosel lashtin mayim, Notel yado ahat, he washes one hand, then nichnas, and then he enters the seuda. Diber im havero. Well, let's say in the middle of the seuda, he got into a lengthy conversation with his friend, viflik, and it was lengthy, as I said, and therefore he took his mind off the seuda, meaning he washed the yadayim in the beginning of the seuda for bread. That's what we're talking about. Now, in the middle of the seuda, he ended up having a long conversation, so he took his mind off his Yadayim. And therefore you're concerned that in the course of the conversation, maybe touch parts of his body and stuff like that that are not clean. And now already he has to make a netilat yadayim again. So this discussion of the Gemara is really what we call in the halakha ma'im imsa'in. There's ma'im rishonim, which is netilat yadayim before the seuda. And we know about ma'im maharonim, that you make right before Birkat HaMazon. This is called ma'im imsa'in. The middle waters, where sometimes in the middle of course of a seudah you did something, your hands become dirty, like going to the bathroom, and in this case we're having a lengthy conversation, therefore your mind is off it. So it says, in that case, you're worried that both your hands got dirty, so you have to wash both your hands, v'nichnas. Okay, then he enters. Now the Gemara says, ukshu notel, and when you wash your hands in both these cases, lo yitol mebachutz v'yichanes, don't wash your hands outside and then enter the seudah again. Mipenei chashad, because of the suspicion. Because the guy, the people sitting with you see you go out. Says, oh, the guy went to the bathroom. And then you come back and you just sit down to eat. They're going to say, look at this guy, he didn't wash his hands. What kind of guy is this over here? So therefore, they want you to wash your hands in front of all the people sitting around the table. So they'll know that you wash your hands. So you won't come to chashad. Ela nichnas, v'yoshev b'mkomo, v'notel shetei yadav. Okay, notel shetei yadav. Seems that the Gemara is really going on the case of when he was talking to his friends, where he has to wash both of his hands. Umahazira tafiyah ala orchin. And then just to make the point, he takes the tafiyah. The tafiyah is the pitcher where they pour the water to make the yadayim. He passes it around to the guests, meaning he says, does anybody else have to make the yadayim over here? When he wants to make it evident that he just washed his hand, so he passes around the tafiyah to the guests. Amar Rav Chasda, lo amaran ela lishtot. This is only talking about where he's coming back to the seudah, where he basically finished eating his bread, where he's just coming back to drink. So if you're just coming back to drink, then you have to make the netilat yadayim in front of the guests. Now why would you have to make the netilat yadayim anymore? You finished eating bread. So that she says, though, because we're concerned that during the drinking you might, you know, change your mind, you might start eating some bread. So you have to make that yadayim just in case you can eat some bread. Now what's the reason? Because when it comes to drinking, people will say, ah, this guy, it's only drinking, he didn't wash his hands. You know, so therefore they're going to suspect him. So therefore when it comes to drinking, where people maybe are lenient not to wash their hands, so wash in front of them to show that, you know, you did the right thing. But if you're going back to eat, you can wash your hands even away from the guests. Why? Everybody knows that a person is usually sensitive or finicky when it comes to eating without washing his hands. So therefore, when it comes to eating, no one's going to suspect him. When it comes to drinking, you have to suspect him. Amar Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak, ve'ana, afilu lishtot nameh medai yadayim. Everybody knows when it comes to me, that even if I'm coming back to drink, they know I washed. Why? Da'anina da'tai. Because I'm a very finicky person. And therefore, they know me already. That when Rav Nachman comes to the seudah, he can wash his hands even outside. Because nobody's going to suspect him, because they know even for drinking, he's going to wash. Let's read Rashi now, all these Rashis. Halakha b'seudah. כלומר, ההלכה הזו אמרו בלכות סעודה. אדם שיצא מתוך הסעודה להשתיד מים, נוטל ידו אחת, אותה ששפשף בה ניצוצות, והפליג שעה. Meaning when he was talking to his friend, he delayed. נוטל שתי ידיו, וכיוון שהפליג שעה אחת, right, since he delayed in the סעודה for a long time, או שתיים, שעה אחת doesn't mean an hour, it means a period of time, or two, הסיח דתו מסעודתו ולא נזן לשמו ידיו ואין עסקריות. And now his hands are moving around, they're touching places. לא יתור בבחות, שלא ימרו עליו, לא נטל. ומחזיר התפיח על האורחין. הכי גרסין ענה בתוספתא דברכות, תפיח פח. That's the jug שיוצקין ממנו מים על הידיים. That's the jug that they pour the water on the hands. מחזירו על האורחין המסובים. והשמש מחזירו עליהם ואומר, and the shamash goes around to all the guests and says, יש בכם צריך ליטול? Anybody else have to wash? ואין זאת אלא להודיע שנטל זה שכניס את ידיו. Which means the purpose of that purpose of that situation is, so everybody knows that this guy who left, I should say שיצא, I would say the Zion changes it. Oh no, Zeshin Nichnas. Okay, the one that entered now washed his hands. Lo amaran de lo yitol bachutz. When do we say that he doesn't have to wash? That he should not wash outside. Ela she'eno tzarich od de'echol. Ela lishtot. הוא נכנס, שהיו נגדים להאריך לשתות בשתייה אחר המזון. Custom was, after even they ate bread, they would still drink at the end of the Sa'udah. Mm-hmm. So this is a normal thing to happen, that you finish your bread eating, but you're still drinking. ומיהו צריך ליטול, שמי יתן פירוסה לתופיו. The reason why you have to drink that yadayim, you might put a piece of bread in your mouth. That's why it renders nitla yadayim. Meda yadia danina data velo hashdi le. They were not going to suspect him. Okay.
There's a situation where you say
from Rashi, it's mashma you wouldn't make a beracha because it's only on a sefek that you might come to eat bread again. So for the chavra, you're just doing it. You know, misafik, so the chara, even though she didn't say it, we could deduce that the berakah would not be made.
He's not even going to the bathroom. Just he delayed. Told
correct. And say hadat. Right? Because your hands are everything. All over the place. Wow. And then the poskim do discuss what happens if a guy takes his mind off the Sa'udah. Okay, we go to the next Mishnah. In Adam nechnas la'azara la'avoda afilu tahor ad sheyitbol. That rule. Nobody could go into the azara. That's the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash for service, to do avodah, even if he's tahor, until he goes to the mikveh. And that's the rule. Anytime anybody enters the Beit HaMikdash, even if he's tahor, he's got to go to the mikveh first. Now she says, la'avodah, la'av dafka. When it says to serve, it doesn't mean dafka to serve. Te'en adam nechnas la'azara chiyitbol. Regardless, I mean, even if he's a Yisrael, and he wants to go to the azara, he has to go to the mikveh first. Look at the Tosafot. אין אדם נכנס לעבודה אפילו טהור עד שהוא טובל, לאו דווקא לעבודה, אלא אפילו לשחיטה, דלאו עבודה היא. Which means, even השחיטה, which we learned כשאלה בזר, that's not an עבודה, still, the guy wants to go to the house to make שחיטה an animal, he's got to go to the מקווה first. Okay, and he brings a proof to us from the ירושלמי. So comes the Gemara Mishnah and says, חמש תבילות ועשרה קדושין תובל כהן גדול ומקדש בו ביום. The Kohen Gadol on Kippur goes to the mikveh 5 times and he washes his hands and legs from the kiyor 10 times. And the Mishnah Gemara is going to tell us exactly when they did them. וכולן בקודש על בית הפרווה. And all the tevilot are done in the area of the Beit HaMikdash of Kodesh, in the chamber called Beit HaParva. If you remember, we said that on the Beit HaParva, on the roof of Beit HaParva, there was a mikveh. So he would go to the roof of Beit HaParva and go, Chutz Mizu Bilvad. Except for the first tevilah. The first tevilah was done not in the Kodesh, which is when he would come into the Beit HaMikdash on Kippur, he would take off his regular garments now, and he would put on the Bigdei Kodesh for the first time. But that dipping is the dipping of everybody. That when you go into the Azara for the first time of the day, you have to go to the Bigdei. Persu Sedin Shilbut Beno Leben Ha'am. It says what they would do is as he would walk in, they would take a Sedin Shilbut, a cloth made of linen, and they would just hold it up like to make a curtain in order to separate between him and the people, because all the people were in the Azara. They don't want to see the Kohen Gadol disrobing and going to the mikveh. So they would cover him up like that. He'd be on the other side, like a changing room, and he would go into the mikveh. That was the only time he would go to the mikveh during that day outside of the Kodesh. Look at Rashi. Hamesh tevidot yadif la b'gemara. The Gemara will learn that it's for us. Al bet ha-parva, al gag l'shkat bet ha-parva, on the roof of the shkat bet ha-parva. Incidentally, the she'elot u'tshuvot ha-rashba learns from over here that you see you can build the mikveh on the roof. It's a whole discussion. Is the mikveh kasher or not? You see, if the bet ha-mikdash, the Kohen Gadol on the holiest day of the year, went to the mikveh on the roof. Chutz mizu, harishona, except for the first tevilah, she'en ha-ba'a chovah liyom ha-kippurim. The first tevilah is not for Kippur. They are kol yom anami ita. Every day you go there, every day you have to go to that mikveh. Aval tevilot abaot chovah liyom kippurim ketibim b'mkom b'makom kadosh. Regarding the mikveh of all the other dippings, it says b'makom kadosh, in a holy place. Masheka, the first one, doesn't have to be in a holy place. It could be outside even. Be'anyana de'acharemot. Good. Comes Gemara and says, Sha'alu et ben zoma. They asked ben zoma, tevilah zu lama. What's the reason? What's the reason why when the Kohen goes in to serve every day, what do you got to go to the mikveh for? He's tahor. What's the purpose? You're telling me that he's got to go to the mikveh? Amar lahem, Uma meshane mikodesh lekodesh. And what a Kohen that changes his garments from holy garments to holy garments. Min on Kippur, the Kohen changes his clothes all day long. He goes from Bigdei Lavan to make the zahav, to make the lavan, to make the zahav, right? As he's going in and out of the kodesh kodeshim, every time he changes his garments from bigdei lavan, which are kodesh, to bigdei zahav that are kodesh, he must go to the mikveh in between. So he says, if a kohen has to go to the mikveh, what, he's changing his garments from kodesh to kodesh, from holy clothes to holy clothes, umimakom sha'anosh karet to makom sha'anosh karet. And for that matter, when he goes to the kodesh kodeshim, which is chayav karet, if he goes in betumah, or for that matter, when he goes into the kodesh, which is also chayav karet, if you go betumah. So as before he goes to the kodesh kodeshim, you gotta go to the mikveh. So you're going from a place that's chayav karet to a place that's chayav karet, which means it's not equal kedusha, but it's kedusha, equal punishment. That if you went in there, tamah, and still gotta go to the mikveh between them. Taun tevila, he needs tevila. Hameshanim mechol la kodesh. A kohen going in to the Beit HaMikdash to serve in the morning, he's changing from his chol, he's changing from his weekday clothes into bigdei lavan, let's say, or bigdei lavan, or bigdei zahav, whatever it is. Umimakom she'en anosh karet lemakom she'anosh karet. He's going from outside the Beit HaMikdash where there's no isur karet into the Beit HaMikdash where there is karet. En odin she'taun tevila. It's a kal vachomer. Did you think if the kohen gadol at Kippur has got a dip between kodesh to kodesh and between 100%. Makom kadosh to makom kadosh, or the more so a guy that's coming into the Beit HaMikdash to serve in the morning, where he's changing his mundane clothes, right? He didn't sleep with his bigdei zahav or bigdei lavan. He wears a regular suit. When he comes to the Beit HaMikdash, he changes. So you're going from bigdei hot to bigdei kodesh, and you're going from the area that's not kadosh to an area that's kadosh. It's a kal vachomer. Look at Rashi. Tevila zu shel kol shachrit lama le tahor. Why does a tahor fellow have to dip when he goes into Azara in the morning? Uma hamishanim mikodesh kohen gadol bechamesh avodot biyom kippurim hamishtanot mechutz lepanim. Right. Umepanim lachutz sheshnei mekomot kodesh. This is on the place. Now, from Rashi it's mashma that he's learning that mikodesh lekodesh in the Mishnah is place. Meaning, you're going from a place that's kodesh, or that's with the regular kodesh, to a place that's kodesh, to the kodesh kodeshim, for example. So every time he switches from one area to another, he's still got to go to the mikveh. To that, to trust what you're sending him as a question on Rashi. It's redundant to Mishnah, because it says, ben kodesh to kodesh, b'makom shechayav karet, b'makom shechayav karet. To a place where you hayav karet, to a place where you hayav karet. That's kodesh to kodesh. It's the same thing. So the Tosfot Yeshanim learns, like we said, that kodesh to kodesh is going on the garments. Meaning every time he changes from the kodesh garments of Lavan to the kodesh garments of Zahav and vice versa, he needs a tevilah between. So kal vachomer, a person that's coming to the Beit HaMikdash for the first time, where he's changing from bigdei hol to bigdei kodesh, and he's going from a place where it's not hayav karet to a place that is hayav karet, Kav HaOmer, he has to dip in the mikveh. So it's important, Machloket Rashi and the Tosfot Yeshanim. Comes the Gemara and says, so according to Ben Zoma, I want to point out, it's a Kav HaOmer. Now a Kav HaOmer has a Din Torah. So it's a Doraita. When you make a Kav HaOmer, that has a Torah status, level. So therefore, according to Ben Zoma, this Chayuf Tevila is Doraita. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Srach Tevila Izu, Kedesh Yizkor Tum'a Yeshana Shebiyado V'Yifrosh. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, this is a Gezerah. This is Rabbinical Tevila. It's a Gezerah. What's the Gezerah? Because maybe a guy, let's say, is really Tameh. But he forgot that he's Tameh. And we don't want the guy who's Tameh just to walk into the Beit HaMikdash and go serve. So what do we tell every guy? Wow. Go to the mikveh. Now when he goes to the mikveh, he's going to start remembering, what's going on? I can't go to the Beit HaMikdash. I have two more days. I have to wait for the mikveh is really to remind the guy that maybe he has another tum'ah on him, and therefore he won't enter. So, but if you tell him, anybody who started, go in. So I have to walk in. By making him go to the mikveh, he'll be cognizant of now tum'ah v'tahara to remind him. Bottom of Rashi says, "Slach tevila hizu, en kan chova min haTorah." There's no chova according to the Yehuda from the Torah. Ela l'slach. What does that mean? L'slach v'litpos b'shem tevila. We wanted to remind him or to be attached to tevila. Kedei la'alot alev. We want him to be remember she'en tevila ela l'temeim. that, you know, who goes to the mikveh? Tameim. Velatet lelibo and yesh tumah alav. We want him to be cognizant, hey, maybe you have tumah on you. The yiskor tumah yishana sheyesh alav. Maybe there's an old tumah that he has on him. Veshakha. The yifrosh milabo lehazarayom. And then he'll stop going to the azara. Ad she'arif shemsho. Until he has ha'erev shemesh, till the night falls. So therefore, according to the Biyudah, it's clearly a rabbinical enactment why you have to go to the mikveh. Yeah.
And
Benzema says. Benzema, Doraita. Kavachomer. Kavachomer, Doraita. So comes the Gemara and says.
It's only the first Tevilah.
First Tevilah.
Right.
Only talking about the first Tevilah. We're not talking about Kohen Gadol Kippur now.
Would be still Doraita or.
We're just discussing now the first Tevilah of a Kohen Gadol or a regular Kohen on any day of the year. So the Gemara says, Bemai, Kame Pelge. What is the root of the argument over here? Be'achule avuda kamepalge. The machloket is based on, let's say a kohen did the service without going to the mikveh. Is the service valid or invalid? Leben zamai mechel avuda. According to Ben Zoma, if a kohen did not go and do that initial dipping, his avuda is going to be invalid. Therefore, hold the doraita, you got to go dip. The Biyuda lo mechel avuda. According to the Biyuda, even if he didn't do this tevilah. Since he had a status of tahor, the avoda is not invalid. So therefore, that's the machloket. Rashi, ma'achodei avoda im lo tabas shachrit ve'avad. The Ben Zoma damar deoraita hiin. Quite the Ben Zoma that says the din deoraita shere nitan kal v'chomed idaresh. Right? Because kal v'chomed is a deoraita, havi avodato mechodelet. So the avoda without this tevilah deoraita is going to be invalid. The Rabbi Yehuda damar derabbananu hi lo mechel. Comes the Gemara and says, Ben Zoma, mi mechel? Hold it. According to Ben Zoma, is it really invalid? That Tanya, we have a braita, Kohen Gadol Shelo Tabal. Let's say you have a Kohen Gadol, not go to the mikveh. Velo Kidesh Ben Beged Le Beged U Ben Avodah La Avodah. And for that matter, he didn't even go to the mikveh between the switching of his garments. Between the Begdeh Lavan and the Begdeh Zahav, etc. U Ben Avodah La Avodah. And between the different services, avodato keshera, his avodah is keshera. Echad kohen gadol ve'echad kohen idiot shelo kidesh yadav v'raglav shachrit. Now, whether it's a kohen gadol kohen idiot that he didn't wash his feet or hands, forget about mikveh, nu halakha, he didn't even wash his hands and feet. Ve'avad avodato pesula. That already is pasul. So therefore, there's a difference between mikveh and kiddush adam reglaim. Everybody has to do kiddush adam reglaim. Right. You didn't do kiddush adam reglaim when you entered the Beit HaMikdash. Avodah pesula. But what you see that a kohen gadol, where is the source, incidentally, of Ben Zoma's derasha? Mm-hmm. What's Ben Zoma's kav v'chomer based on from the kohen gadol Kippur? That if what the kohen gadol on Kippur, who has to dip between? So Begadim to Begadim, let's say Begdei Kodesh to Begdei Kodesh. So this guy that's coming in, that's going from Begdei Chol to Begdei Kodesh, Kav HaOmer. But if the Kohen Gadol himself, if he didn't dip between the Begadim, his Avodotos Keshera. So Kol Sheken, a regular guy that doesn't go dip in the Beit HaMikdash when he enters and he was Tahor, certainly he's not going to be invalid. So therefore Ben Zoma must hold that Tevilah is not, lack of Tevilah does not invalidate the service. So we're back to the question, what's the machloket between Ben Zoma and the Biyuda? Don't tell me the machloket is if it invalidates it or not. Because even according to Ben Zoma, it doesn't invalidate it. Again, what's his whole source? His whole source for this Tevilah when you enter the Beit HaMikdash from the Kohen Gadol. And we know there's a writer that says even the Kohen Gadol that didn't do Tevilah, Ben Kodesh to Kodesh, is Keshera, is Avodato Keshera. So Kol Sheken, who you're learning to, it's going to be kishin as well. So what's the source of the machloket? Ela lemekam be'aseh kamepalge. The machloket is, do you transgress a positive commandment? Which means do you get an aseh? Leben zoma ka'e be'aseh. According to Ben Zoma, yes, there's a positive commandment over here. Rashi says, mikal v'chomer de kohen gadol sh'over be'aseh kedikhtiv v'rahas et besaro b'mayim. By the Kohen Gadol, it says, V'rahas besaro. There's a positive commandment clearly by the Kohen Gadol. So it's coming to tell you, that positive commandment by the Kohen Gadol extends to even a regular Kohen that goes during the year. So that's a big hadush, that you're in contempt of a positive commandment in the Torah, according to Ben Azai. Or that he's obligated from an aseh as well. The Rabbi Yehuda, lo ka'e be'aseh. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no aser. It's a gezerah darbanan. What's Rabbi Yehuda's logic? The gezerah, the guy might have a tumah on him, and he forgot that he has a tumah, so we keep him cognizant of his tumah, so we say that he should go to the mikveh. So that's a big nafkamina. Is there an aser on the person to go dip or not? Umi itle Rabbi Yehuda, hay sevara. So hold it. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold of this sevara that we make you go to the mikveh? Even though you're tahor, gezerah that maybe you have a tumah on you to remind you. Is that so? Ve'atanya, we have a braita. Mesora tobel ve'omed bishar nikanor. Remember, we learned about the mitzora that has a 7-day process of purifying himself, and then on the night of the 7th, he goes to the mikveh. On the day of the 7th, he goes to the mikveh actually, and then on the 8th day. He has to bring korbanot. Now, he has to go into the special area, they call it the Shkata Mitzuraim, and he would stand there, and he has to put his right hand in the Kodesh area, and they would sprinkle his thumb with the blood and the oil, and the halakha says that he has to go to the mikveh again on the 8th day. Even though he went to the mikveh once already on the 7th, still he has to go to the mikveh on the 8th day because now he's entering the Bet HaMikdash to be sprinkled. So the Gemara says again, Mitzora tobel ve'omed b'sha'a nikanor. He would stand by the gate of Nikanor, which is on the like the borderline, right before the Kodesh, and he would just stick his hand inside. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eno tzarich tevila. The Biyuda says, no, the Mitzvah on the 8th day, he doesn't need Tevilah. Shekevar Taval Mebe'erev. He just went to the mikveh, let's say the night before. Okay, the night before. So therefore, where's he got to go again? So that's a question. Hey, the Biyuda, you're the one that said that you have to go to the mikveh every time you go to the Bet HaMikdash. Gezerah, that maybe you have a Tum'ah. Here, when it comes to the Mitzvah, we say he doesn't have to. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ha'u kedetani ta'ama. But we have a reason over there why I didn't have to go. Shekevar tavam
lebe'ayref.
We went last night. Which is, they're not going to make a gezerah. Which is, Rabbi Yehuda normally would tell you got to go to the mikveh because maybe he has a tumah that he forgot. Did this guy forget that he has a tumah? He just went to the mikveh last night. What happened from last night to today? What is he forgetting? So therefore, the Gemara does not see a question from this against the Yehuda. So much so, the Gemara says, Udekare le'la. And the one that asked this question, my karela, what was he thinking? Which means, it's biferush. It clearly says in the Braita that the reason why he doesn't have to go to the mikveh on the 8th day is because he just went the night before. What were you thinking to ask a question from this statement against Rabbi Yehuda? Isn't it obvious? So the Gemara says, no, mishum de kaba'e limirma ahariti ale. Because they really was a setup to ask another question against the Biyuda, to bring a contradiction. Why? In this braita, clearly the Biyuda said, 8th day, Mitzora does not have to go to the mikveh. But there's another statement that says, Lishkat Mitzoraim, why was it called the chamber of the Mitzoraim? Shisham Mitzoraim Toblin. That's where the Mitzoraim used to go to the mikveh. She's on the 8th day, that is a special area for all Mitzuraim, they would go to the mikveh. So the Gemara says, why they call this Shkat Mitzuraim? Shesham Mitzuraim Tovlim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Mitzuraim Bilvad Amru. Not only Mitzuraim, Ela Kol Adam. Anybody that went to the Bet HaMikdash would dip in that area. But what do you see? Lo Mitzuraim Bilvad. Not only Mitzuraim, which means even Rabbi Yehuda says the Mitzuraim goes to the mikveh on the 8th day.
Anybody.
So now you have anybody, I understand. But we have a question now from Rabbi Yehuda himself to Rabbi Yehuda. And the first braita said, Mitzuraim would have to go to the mikveh for. They went the night before. And this braita says, you know why it's called the Shkat Mitzuraim? Rabbi Yehuda says, not only because Mitzuraim go there, but everybody goes there. Hold it. That's a stira. Again, in the first braita, Rabbi Yehuda said, he doesn't have to go to the mikveh on the 8th day. Because he went the night before. Right. And this bright that says he has to go on the 8th day. Doesn't say anything about did he go the night before or not. It's why is it called the Shkata Mitzuraim? In the Bet HaMikdash at a certain chamber. In the Bet HaMikdash. I mean, when does he come to the Bet HaMikdash?
His day. Following day.
On the 8th day. So it's like, why do you call this Katam Surah? He dips anywhere at night. He's not going to the Mitzvah Mikdash at night. What do I care? He's dipping in his house at night. The Mishkata Mitzuraim and the Beta Mikdash, the Buddha is clearly saying, the Mitzuraim, as well as other people who needed to go to the Mikveh, would go to that Mikveh.
Right.
So make up your mind, the Buddha. Does the Mitzurah have to dip on the eighth day or not? So the Gemara says, Lakashya. Had it tabir, had it not tabir. Very easy. In the case where he doesn't have to go, it's talking about where he went to the mikveh on the seventh night. And in this case of it's talking about where he didn't go to the mikveh. Very easy. So the Gemara says, wait. Hold it. If he didn't go to the mikveh the day before, now he's going to go on the eighth day, he needs he'anef shemesh. Which means you cannot just go to the mikveh and bring a korban. You're going to have to wait until the nightfall. So therefore, that's not an option. So the Gemara says, "Eda idi the tavir." I'll tell you both. He went on this both, but I thought talking about where he went to the mikveh on the seventh. Had asach darte, had lo asach darte. One brayta is talking about where he didn't take his mind off of the tahara, and therefore, since his mind was still on the tahara, he was watching himself. Therefore, he's careful. 8 days doesn't need a tevilah. Mashaken over, he went on the seventh. He had the anef shemesh, but he took his mind off of protecting himself from Tum'ah. And therefore, he has to go to the mikveh again on the 8th. Because from this Gemara you see, well, it's not to go to the mikveh. You have to now protect yourself from Tum'ah. But if he had to say Adat, if his mind was taken off his Tahara, he has a problem. Gemara says, hold it. If he took his mind off the Tahara, so now already you have to suspect that he came in contact with the myth. Now if he came in contact with a mit, he's going to need sprinkling on the third and seventh day. Because maybe he has to say adat.
Anybody.
If you tell me that he had to say adat, hazaat shiri shi ushpi'i ba'e. Why? The Amar of Dostai Bar Matun Amar of Yohanan. Heseya hadat sari hazaat shiri shi ushpi'i. So we're back to the question. Rabbi Yehuda, what's the case where you're telling me you have to go to the mikveh on the eighth day?
Right.
And don't tell me somehow we had a seach adat, because the mikveh would not be enough. You'd have to be sprinkled by the paraduma 3 and 7. I have to tell you both cases, he didn't have a seach adat. V'la kashya. Had the tabil al da'at bi'at mikdash. Had the lo tabil al da'at bi'at mikdash. Nu hidush. When you go to the mikveh on the seventh, so of course it's part of the Mitzvah process as well, but you also have to have kavanah that you're dipping al da'at to enter the Beit HaMikdash. See, the rabbis put a special stringency in the law of entering the Beit HaMikdash. It's not enough to go to the mikveh. You have to have da'at when you went into the mikveh, that it's al da'at be at the mikdash. And if he did that on the seventh day, no problem, he's covered on the eighth. But she'egin, if he dipped on the seventh, just for Mitzvah. But enough kavanah be at mikdash, so he has to go again into the. He has to go again. V'ibayet ema. Another answer. Tani, you know how to learn that braita? Lo mitzora'in amru ela kol adam. Change the view of that statement. Yeah, which means the reason why the name of the room is called the Shkat Mitzora'im. So our original text was the view that said not only mitzora'im go there, but everybody. Now learn it like this. No, Mitzuraim don't go there. Only everybody, only other people. Jesus the Buddha is challenging. Why should he call this guy Mitzuraim? Rabbis, why are you calling this guy Mitzuraim? Mitzuraim don't go there. Mm-hmm. Only other people go there. So therefore, if other people go there, the Buddha really holds that the Mitzura does not have to go to the mikveh on the eighth day because he dipped already on the seventh. So there was two answers how to reconcile this stira. Now let's catch up in the Rashi's. Let's start from Rashi Umi Itle the Buddha Haksevara. So all the way up there, it's across Nagot Abach. The matnitin shu kol nichnasim la'azara selchim tevila. The Zebu da'ot that every person that enters the azara needs a tevila. Metzora b'shmini shelo, afapi shetavad b'shivi'i, even though he dipped on the seventh, k'dichtiv. V'aya b'yom ha'shivi'i. Yigalea, he shaves his hair on the seventh day. Chozer v'et, and he goes to the mikveh. Chozer v'tobe b'shmini k'shivi b'korbenotav. He has to dip again on the eighth day when he brings his korbanot. Ve'omed b'sha'ni kanor, he stands by the gate of the kanor, la'chnis yadav v'raglav b'fnim, so he can stick his hand and his leg, his feet in, le'matan behonot, because on his thumb and his big toe, they place midam ha'asham, from the blood, v'shemen alog, and they place also the oil. K'detani ta'ma, shekavat ha'ba be'erev. The Gemara says, of course, you know why the Buddha says you don't have to go to the mikvah on the eighth day? Because already he went to the Mikvah the night before. The day before. Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh. Tamar en tevidat shachri tabaim nazra ela l'skor tum'a yishana. The only reason why you got to go to the Mikvah is to remember, to remind him of maybe of an old tum'a that was on him. V'zeh en tzarich lekach. Shari tabal emesh l'kot tum'a sha'alav. The seventh day he went to the Mikvah for all the tum'ot that were on him. So the Gemara says, Udekari la mai kari la. Nisha osik b'mishna zu l'ashiv b'mela b'bet ha-midrash. The one that was asking on the Biuda in the Bet Midrash from this Mishnah, lama nit'asik? What was he getting involved in? Halot ta'am miforashba. The reason is given, meaning, what were you asking? Lishkat mitzuraim. Lama nikrit lishkat mitzuraim? Right, the next right. Why was it called lishkat mitzuraim? Shesha mitzuraim tovdim b'shvil shemachnisim behonotehem na'azara. Because they're entering their behonot into the azara. Ela kol adam. The Bible that came along and said, not only Mesoraim, but
everybody.
Which means, Anichnas ta'azaram, the kamar bilvad, meaning from the fact that the Bible that said, not only Mesoraim, Mechlal, to eat the Tevila be Mesora. That must be the Mesora, does have to go to the Mikveh on the 8th day. So it says, Delo tabinu be'er Mesorato. So one answer was, that we'll say he didn't go to the Mikveh the night before. But we rejected that because we said, you need the Aref Shemesh. So the Gemara says, Asah da'ateh, Mishmirat gufo. Now he took his mind off from watching himself. Maybe he went to a tent of a mit. Right? Now, so we gave two answers. One answer was that the reason why he has to go to the mikveh on the 7th, 8th day is because he didn't have kavanah when he dipped for Biat Mikdash, for entering the Bet Mikdash. Second answer, that really, according to the Biyuda, you don't have to go to the mikveh on the 8th day. And really, he's saying that lishkat mitzuraim, there's no reason to call it lishkat mitzuraim. It's really a lishkat that other people went, but mitzuraim don't have to go because he really went on the 7th day. Ravina gives a third answer. Rabbi Yehuda lidivrehem derabbanan ka'amar lehu. Keep the girsa that we have. Keep the girsa that says velo mitzuraim bilvad ela kol adam. But Rabbi Yehuda was not talking in his shita. He was talking to the rabbis, to the Tanakhama of that Mishnah, that said it's called the Shkat Mitzuraim because Mitzuraim dipped there. So he says, Lididi Mitzura in Sarich Tevila. He doesn't. According to me, a Mitzura does not need a Tevila. Lididhu. But according to you, Oduli Izi, Izi would be Habibi, meaning my dear ones, my friends, Miat. Delo mitzuraim bilvad amru ela kol adam, which is according to you, as according to me, I hold mitzuraim nagoro. So there's no reason to call this place lishkat mitzuraim. But according to you, at least agree that not only mitzuraim went there, others went there as well, and therefore, why would you call lishkat mitzuraim? So he wasn't referring to himself. He says, for me, only regular guys go there. No Mitzuraim at all. But according to you, that same Mitzuraim do go there? You got to agree to me that they weren't the only ones that went there. Other people went as well. So therefore, he was talking in Hachamim's opinion, not in his own opinion. Look at Rashi. Rashi Dibura Matqil. Right. Lididi Mitzura En Sarich Tevila Shekevar Tavam. Okay. Now comes the Gemara and says, "V'rabbanan." Oh, so the rabbis, how do they answer? Why do they call it the Shkat Mitzuraim? So the Gemara says, "V'rabbanan," and the rabbis, "Mitzura Daish betumah." A mitzura, he's Daish betumah, meaning he's what called steeped in tumah, or he's accustomed to tumah. Bottom line, the mitzura was tameh for 7 days. I mean, he's involved in tumah. Kol adam lo daishe betumah. But a regular person is not daish betumah. Regular guy's not involved in tumah. Which is, you know what the rabbis are saying? The rabbis are saying now that, you know why it's called the Shkat Mitzuraim? Because only Mitzuraim went there. But they hold a regular guy that's tahor does not have to go to the mikveh before he goes to the Bet HaMikdash. So you have a third opinion here.
Oh.
Yeah, Ben Betera that's, or Ben Zoma that says Deoraita. You have Rabbi Yehuda that says Derabbanan, and now you have the rabbis of that Mishnah that are saying they don't got to go at all. You know why it's called the Shkat Mitzuraim? Because it's for Mitzuraim. Why Mitzuraim? Because they're involved in Tum'ah. So therefore they're involved in Tum'ah, so they have to go to the mikveh again on the 8th day. Mashiach and a regular guy? Why should I have to go to Mikveh? They're Tahor. They're not involved in Tumah. So therefore, this is an opinion that we found over here of Tanaim that want to say you don't even have to go. If you're Tahor and you were not involved in Tumah, you don't have to dip. You're good. So that again is the third Shita. Look at Rashi. Daish betumah or Tatumah. Vihurgal ad achshav liga betumah. Which means he's accustomed to touching things that are Tameh. Why? Because he's a mitzvah anyway. It didn't matter. It didn't mean, but he's accustomed, but he's just coming off an habitual touching tum'ah out of habit. Again, it's hard to break a habit. For 7 days, or even for more, he was touching tum'ah because the Kohen told him you're a mitzvah anyway. It doesn't matter. So he went to the mikveh. It's quite possible that in his habit for 7 days that he's not being careful, he wasn't careful again. That maybe after Tevila, he went back to his old habits and touched. So, however, according to a regular guy, no problem. So that's the understanding. And that's why the rabbis call Mishkat Mitzuraim. Because it's Davka for the Mitzuraim. And that's what the Yehuda was saying. Rabbis, listen, I don't agree that Mitzuraim go. But agree to me that regular people go. So why would you call the Shkem Mitzuraim? They said, no, we don't agree to you. Regular people don't come. Regular people are not involved in Tum'ah. And therefore, Davka, they call it the Shkab Mitzuraim. Now comes the Gemara and says, last point. Amar le Abaye le Rabbi Yosef. Abaye tells Rabbi Yosef. Nema Rabbanan de Paligi ale de Rabbi Yehuda ke ben zoma svida lehu. The first braita that we quoted, we said in the first braita, Hatanya, all the way up, Mitzora Tobel Ve'omed Beshar Nikanor. Right, the first shita said the Mitzora goes to the Mikveh on the 8th day and he stands at Shar Nikanor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eno Tzarich Tevila. Rabbi Yehuda said, you don't need Tevila. Now that Tanakama of that braita number one, we'll call it. When the rabbis say a mitzorah tobel ve'omer b'sharini kanor, what do they hold? Do they hold only a mitzorah? Or do they hold everybody? Which means, we definitely know the rabbis of the second braita, now according to Ravina's answer, clearly hold a regular guy does not have to go to the mikveh at all. Only mitzorah. We want to know in the first braita, when the braita said mitzorah stands at shah mitzorah tobel ve'omer b'sharini kanor, what is that opinion hold? Is that opinion Dafka Mitzorah or Huadin everybody else? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Nemar Rabbanan de Paliga Rabbi Yehuda ke Ben Zoma Svida Lehu. Maybe they hold like Ben Zoma, really, that everybody has to go to the mikveh as well. Meaning, like Ben Zoma that holds, there's a Din Deoraita to go to the mikveh. Tosfot points out, it's Lav Dafka Ben Zoma. Could be they hold like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning that it's the Rabbanan. The point is, could be the Tanakhama holds that there's a hayu for everybody to go to the mikveh. So why they say mitzora? Ve'hai diktani mitzora. The reason why they chose the case of mitzora le'odiacha koho the Rabbi Yehuda, to show us the strength of the Rabbi Yehuda, that even a mitzora that's da'ish betum'ah, still he does not have to go to the mikveh on the 8th day. Again, Tanakhama said what? A mitzora goes to the mikveh and stands at Shani Kanor. So we're questioning. Well, could be that Tanakhama says not only a mitzvah. Who had deen? The regular guy's got to go to the mikveh before he enters the Beit HaMikdash. So why did he choose the case of mitzvah? To show you how lenient Rabbi Yehuda was. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda says even a mitzvah that's da'ish betum'ah still does not have to go to the mikveh on the 8th day. Or dilma, or maybe I go the other way. Shani mitzvah de da'ish betum'ah. Or maybe Davka Tanakama is saying, you know why Mitzora? Because he's Daish Betumah, but a regular guy, no. And therefore the Tanakama of the first Braita and the Tanakama of the second Braita of the Mishnah are saying the same thing. So Amar Le Shani Mitzora de Daish Betumah. Wow, so therefore Tanakama of that Braita was only talking about Mitzora. And therefore Nikanami, the two rabbis of the Braita and the subsequent Mishnah are agreeing with each other that only Mitzora, but not a regular person. So it comes that we have three legitimate Shitot. We have the two Shitot in our Mishnah, that would be Ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda, based on our Mishnah that says a regular guy has to go to the mikveh before he goes to Azara. Then we have the two rabbis' opinions of the Mishnah and the Braita over there by Mitzora. Now look at Rashi. That agreed. That's it. You do not have to go to the mikveh. Look at Rashi. Nema rabbanan de pliga de biyuda bematnita kamaita. But in the first braita, diktani mitzora tobel veomed. What was the first braita? A mitzora stands by shah nikanor, right? Ke ben zoma svira lehu. Maybe they're like ben zoma. De amar de olaitai lechol adam. Hilkach lo shena tabal mebeahere velo shena lo tabal. It doesn't matter whether they went to the mikveh or not. Meaning everybody goes to the mikveh. You got to go before you enter. Now, velav hainu rabbanan de manitin. Now, obviously, that's not going to be the rabbis of the second mishnah. The paligi aleh be mishnah de midot, because that's the mishnah midot, the second mishnah that clearly says the rabbis hold nobody has to go to the mikveh, only a mitzvah because of daish tuma or dilma hada tanahi. Or maybe you'll say it's all the same tana. And what? Veshani mitzvah de daish betuma. And the reason why a mitzvah he chose is because davka a mitzvah. And the Gemara's answer is you're right. It's davka mitzvah. So it comes out the braita. I want to tell you where that braita is. The braita in Nigaim, that's Mitzvah Tobel V'Mishnah Nikanor, and the Mishnah in Midot are consistent. The second Mishnah is in Midot. That's the Mishnah that says Lishkata Mitzuraim Shesham Mitzuraim Tovrim. So Davka Mitzuraim, that's clear, and the one in Nigaim as well. When it said that the Mitzuraim go to the Mekveh and stand the Chani Karetz Davka Mitzuraim as well. So it comes that you have three Shitot. You have Ben Zomad de Oraita, the Biyudad, the Rabbanan on a regular guy going into the Bet HaMikdash on any given day before he goes in. And you have Rabbanan in the Gaim and Midot that say, no, Davka Mitzurah, because he's Daish Betumah. But a regular guy, if he's Tahor, his status is Tahor, and therefore he does not have to go to the Mekveh.